Hello, Stripper Whispers. This is Corey Michaelis with my stand-up comedy tour dates. If you don't want to hear them, fast forward 30 seconds twice and then rewind 15 seconds and we'll be right at the top of the episode. This upcoming weekend, I am at home in Everett, Washington, doing my hometown show, everettcomedy.com. Next weekend, I'll be with Brad Upton in Richland, Washington, but those shows are sold out. And then March 6th through 12th, I will be at the Oyo Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Come see me live there and enjoy this week's episode. Hello and welcome back to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where we get behind the G-string and interview strippers about their lives outside the clubs, what it's like working in the clubs, and how we can all be good customers in their space. I am Corey Michaelis.
And I'm Nikki.
Today we're interviewing, you have personalities, many personalities.
Multiple personalities.
Tender Montana, Stripper Witchin is a fun nickname. From New Jersey, say hey to everybody.
Hey. Hi.
Glad to have you here. The episodes are fun to listen to by themselves, but before we get started, if you'd like to put a face and some products I saw on your Instagram and some cleavage to this voice, check out Tender Montana on Instagram at _stripperwitchin or over on our Patreon page as well. We're all just meeting right now for the first time. And that makes me nervous. So I'm going to take a shot of vodka if that's okay.
Wow.
I'm going glass of wine. That's always what I do. It's midday.
I should open my champagne, but I didn't want people to know that I'm an alcoholic. I try to hide it from social media. I try to hide it.
This is the excuse for day drinking.
Hey, you know? we're giving you the A-OK. Nobody who listens will judge you. God won't even judge you for having a little bit of champagne, I don't think so.
I mean, my ancestors drink, so I think we kind of like in the same boat. I think they understand who I am.
I like it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Wait, I gotta go get wine now. I feel left out.
You know, okay, we'll wait.
Go for it. We'll wait for you. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good background.
While she's going to do that, you should also check her out on OnlyFans. It's Tender Montana. That's correct, right, Nikki? I'm saying that.
Yeah, Tender Montana. That's a good name too. I like that. It's a can you create
her alter ego, Miley. I don't know.
Exactly. Dang it. Yeah, that's when you build those personas with the really good names. Ooh. It's really good to like easy to stick to, you know.
Exactly. I like it. You got the small bottle.
Yeah, sweet one. I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I'm trying to like lay off of the Hennessy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do like tequila, wine, champagne, because you know, it's, we're just dealing with sex work. I still do like sex work off and on, but I just don't want to be dependent on alcohol like all the time.
That's how I feel.
So it's like I'm just trying to slow down slowly, and I'm getting older, so.
When I was younger, I always had to like, I was like, oh, you got to drink in the club. And then as soon as I hit a certain age, I was like, I can't drink in here anymore. Like, I just can't, like, mentally, you got to get to a point where you're like,
I felt like the alcohol was kind of like taking over. And it's like, girl, you're not even in the club. You in the house drinking bottles of fucking Hennessy. So it's like, you know, I had to come to that realization myself. And it's just being an adult. It's like, okay, like, just let's clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So. Well, cheers to you and your sweet wine, which is basically just grape juice, right? I mean, come on.
It really is, but it's something.
Lovely. And also you have, we'll talk about all this stuff, but you know, check out her website, www.stripperwitchin.com. Don't let us forget to talk to you about that, because it looks like you got a fun hustle there that's interesting. And we're curious
about.
You know,
I have the hottest manifestations in the clubs right now. Period. I got the streets on smash, but let's talk about that.
All right, we're gonna get there. I'm very interested. I also, so When Nikki reached out to you, just slid into your DMs and said, hey, you want to do this podcast?
Yes.
Right.
I'm not even sure where I found her page. There's this page that a lot of girls follow called the Dancer Resource. And it's just like a good, connects a bunch of strippers and everything. There's tons of them. And I think I might have saw that you like to post, and I go through, I mean, cause they post memes and it's super funny shit. And when I went to her page, I was like, damn, this girl is like, she's got it. You know, like that's how you want somebody's Instagram to be, like pushing your own things and pushing your products. And I was like, I'm going to ask her. And I think maybe I saw in something that you were from the East Coast. And so we're on the West Coast, and a lot of the girls that we've interviewed so far are over on this side. And I was like, I want to hear about the clubs over there. You know, like I want to hear about what's going on in there.
The clubs, girl, a ghetto, girl. Ghetto. I don't know if you're still in the club. I feel like the clubs have changed a lot, especially with Corona and stuff.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's changed a lot. For me, I not really worked at Gentleman's Club because I have a very urban look. So I always had to work in like basically like little holes in the walls.
Sure.
So sure. Like really like working in like Gentleman's Clubs, I don't really have that experience. I'm more so, you know, urban, like making it rain. I don't really know how to like sell lap dances. Even girls are like, oh, could you do like a book on this? I'm like, I can't do that because I don't know what I don't really know. Like all I knew was to just hustle, work hard on stage, go up to every guy. And you know, like black clubs are just like a little, especially when they hood, it's just like, it's just a different type of feel. It's just like, I don't know. It's just a little different.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I will say, so I'm from Vegas originally, and I started dancing there, and it's like big clubs there, but all the clubs I have done the very best in are like hole in the wall, small clubs, like different, not like what you think of in like these like glamorous, you know, huge gentleman gown clubs and shit, which I hear is like a big thing in New York and whatnot. I'm not so sure of Jersey and how that is.
But. Well, they have some here, but they really don't hire like, it's like, I don't know. And that's so confusing because, you know, that clientele does like me because I'm tall, I'm dark. But then when it comes with the tattoos, and I'm just like, I feel like I'm an independent contractor. So why does it matter how I look? I'm paying you to work. So it doesn't really matter. But you know, and then when you do go to like top notch, like urban clubs, it's like about the bartenders up here. It's basically a lot of colorism up here. So that's why I just started like, you know, making sure I take started taking stripper witching serious, because why keep going through that? The rejection, it starts taking like a toll on your mental and all that thing. So I was just like, you know what, let me focus on stripper witching. You know, when I do 10 to Montana, like I'm actually like, you know, starting like a little mixtape and stuff. So I could sell my other merch, which is Hope, which is Hustling Over Everything. Mm-hmm. So that's also like my merch. It's like 10 to Montana merch, but people get so caught up with Ho. So it's like, oh, my bike doesn't say Ho. And then other people like, oh, I'm going to say it because Hustling Over Everything. So
that's a good
one. Just like, you know, I'm just trying to transition into like, you know, going from the club, being a sex worker, and just really just going into full business. That's it, basically. Okay.
Clever. I like the names. They're clever and fun. That's I don't know if Nikki mentioned, I'm a stand-up comedian, so anything that's funny like that or clever like that, I'm into it. I love it. And it looks like you have a funny t-shirt on too. T-shirt might be too strong of a word because it's not Alexa, block his number.
Yes.
Said it out loud though, so
yes.
Alexa, you have to. Never mind what I just said.
You have to, because guys, oh my God, I don't know what's going on with the generation of guys nowadays, and I've been blocking guys left and right, left and right, left and right. I can't do it.
Okay, so I've never blocked a number before because, you know, I'm straight white guy, but doesn't that, okay, I have one person, I have a couple people that DM me so frequently that I'm like a little freaked out by them. But
you are handsome, so I mean,
you can DM me. But I feel like I want to know their every move. I feel scared of the idea of blocking them on everything, because then I'm like scared that they're not, now that, and I made them mad. Doesn't that You just have to.
I think that's an excuse. I feel like, especially, it's just protecting your energy because you got to block people.
Yeah.
Some people just don't deserve to have access to you. And that's just the point that I'm at in 2022. I have to protect my energy. If you're doing too much or I feel like you don't value my time, you don't value me, I have to go. Especially like, you know, working in clubs and you just looked at as a stripper. I'm looked at as a porn star. I'm looked at as a prostitute. I'm looked at all these things. So yes, I'm going to block you because my energy is mine. So block them, period.
Yeah, all right. I just I guess I listen to too many murder podcasts. I get nervous. Not trying to scare you, nobody's gonna murder you, everything's fine. So where'd you grow up?
I'm from Jersey City, New Jersey. So I grew up, I'm still living in New Jersey. It's so annoying, it's so ghetto. But yeah, I'm still here. And now I moved from one ghetto to the next ghetto. So now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to move out to another new ghetto. So I don't know.
What would be your preference if you could choose, where would you live?
I don't know. I think I would like the West Coast. Uh-huh. Because I just like the idea that I won't be like, I'm like kind of competitive a little bit, like, oh yeah, it's not 12 o'clock over there yet, so I'm still chilling at 9 o'clock, so probably the West Coast.
Right. It ain't bad. It's not bad out here. You probably I think you'd love it. I don't think you'd love it in Seattle. That's where I'm at.
Maybe Portland. Like, that's kind of like a trendy Portland. Pretty spot. Or San Francisco's cool. San Francisco's kind of like a little. San Francisco's like kind of ghetto right now, though. Too. It's like.
I do adapt to the ghetto.
It's not relative, but the thing about it though is it's not a cheap ghetto. Still, not even yet. Like it's still not a $3,000 fucking studio ghetto. You know, and then yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, I've heard over here it's really high too. So that's New Jersey.
And when did you? How long have you been doing sex work or stripping?
I actually started at 18. I'm 30 now. I probably started around like 11 years I did.
Yeah.
So right now I'm just like doing OnlyFans. I do see like a couple of clients, but it's like not really that many. So yeah, that's it. I just basically do like OnlyFans. So I still consider myself a sex worker because I'm not too good for anything. You know, some girls like, I got a business now. I don't have to do that. No, girl, I still got to get my coin.
Exactly. Right. So when you say see clients, just so you do like stripping also, and then do you do other sex work too? Is that
I think I'm done with stripping because I tried to work last year. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm an older girl now. I tried to work last year when I was 29 and them young girls was running circles around me. And then I thought about it and I was like, damn, this guy just threw like only $100 at me and I paid $200 to work. It was like the money wasn't matching up.
Ooh, that is expensive to work.
Yeah, the tip out is so high at urban clubs. It's ridiculous. Like, it's like a dog eat dog and then they have favorites. It's a lot. It's just a lot. So I just see like my clients, like, you know, I don't really think I'm an escort. Sure. I think I'm a prostitute, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I was just talking to Corey about I have a girlfriend that she like prostitutes, you know, but she flies to different cities and she goes and sees her customers and whatnot. And she said the same thing. She's from Vegas originally. And when COVID happened, she was like, the clubs are crazy. Like it's crazy in there. And she started doing that. And now she's at the point where she's like, I don't want to go back to stripping anymore. Like, I'm done with it. And she feels more comfortable in the realm of that line of work because, like you said, like when you're in those clubs and you cost like $150, $200 to be there, like you're in the hole. Like, it's just, you have nothing, like you're crawling your way out from there. And if you're not in really tight with your VIP hosts and your people like that, then you just like, you're like scrounging, you know?
It's just bad. I don't know what happened to stripping. And I talk to a lot of girls and I'm like, does this happen to you? And they're like, girl, it's bad. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm thinking it's me. I'm like, maybe I'm just lazy now because I'm older.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, this not for me. So I just do that. Of course, OnlyFans. Like I do like a lot of all. I feel like online work is like really good right now because everybody's in the house. So like online work with your OnlyFans. It's just all about having multiple sources of income because New Jersey is not cheap to live. So it's like just having multiple sources.
Yep.
I don't know about stripping though.
I like multiple streams on my face. Okay. So couldn't resist. So do you do, you can talk about however much you want to talk about, whatever, but like full service sex work with clients that are regular clients or not full service or not regular clients, but you find, how does, I have no.
Okay, what is your definition?
Corey's trying to figure out how he can make the cut.
What is it like? What is see? I don't. I think that terms are like so. Like I don't know. Like what do you feel is full?
Right.
Like what is full service? Because it's like so many things. Like a guy hits me up because I've done porn, and he's like, "Oh, I want like I've seen you in the videos as a girlfriend experience, and that girlfriend experience is not really a girlfriend experience. A girlfriend experience is to make sure you don't make the guy feel like a trick. But a girlfriend experience to somebody else is you having unprotected sex." So I don't have unprotected sex because I don't have time for that. Of course, in porn, I've done it because, you know, everybody's tested. But even with that, people have had fake tests. You don't get tests like the right way. We're coming out of our pocket paying $250 to get tested. So sometimes I'm paying $500 a month just to get tested. So with that, God, you know, they're not testing for herpes. And, you know, herpes doesn't, you know, sometimes herpes doesn't show up. They don't test you for a lot of things. And we said that with talent testing, like, you know, why aren't you testing it the right way? They're like, oh, well, only I have herpes anyway. So if we test for herpes, we won't be able to, nobody would be shooting. So from there, I was like, okay, I got to kind of fall. I got to step out of porn. I knew I had to step out of stripping. So I don't know what's like a full service.
Yeah. So you don't define it. I think
it's different, you know, because like what she's saying, because it's the same thing of like when you think like what she's saying, girlfriend experience for some dudes, they think, oh, you're going to make out with them and you're going to fucking, you know, like, but then a lot of other men, when they think of that, they think of like, oh, we're going to go to dinner and we're going to like spend an evening together. And it's like the lines of what full service kind of get branched under is different, but at least when you're in the position like you are going from porn to at least being in control of who you see and whatnot helps you like better navigate like, oh, well, this man here's full service, but this is actually what he's expecting, you know?
So I just feel like I gotta kind of know what full service is, long story short, because full service could be, you know, oral sex and intercourse. It's just people have different definitions of it.
Right.
So when you're defining, I mean, so you have control of that and you define that, do you just like have, for lack of a better word, sort of a menu of what the options are that you are offering?
I really don't have a menu. Yeah. Okay, so one thing about Tender is not really going to cater to men. I feel like I'm very dominant. This is my show. This is my business. I don't care what's going on. I turn down money if I don't like you. I'm not a person. I'm not a kiss ass. I will curse you out. Like if you're getting on my nerve, like you're not gonna play with me. I'm very blunt. Like I'm not a person that's gonna be like, oh no, baby, and no. Do you have the fucking money or what? Because what's not clicking, Steven? Yeah. What's not clicking?
Yeah, but a lot of men like that though, because they find themselves in situations where they're like, they feel like they're stepping up to this role. And it's like, no, you're forgetting your place in this position. Like you're paying me. Therefore, this is my show. You know, this is like what I'm doing.
Exactly. So I try to hold it down for the girls. I try to hold it down. Like, girl, no, you curse that motherfucker out. Don't forget. This is your business. That's your pussy, bitch. You charge whatever the fuck you want to charge. If he don't got it, oh, but I don't give you $10 short. I'm not coming.
Yeah, that's good though, because that's a standard. That's like, it's very much, I think that people forget that that line of work is alive and well. And unless you have people that set their own standard, it gets lost in translation of being like, oh, well, so-and-so suck my dick for, you know, $15. And you're like, well, I'm like, you better go back, you know,
because I ain't got shit to do with me.
Yeah, exactly.
We run into the same thing in stand-up comedy. There's too many comedians, way too many, and so there's always someone who will do it for less, and we get tricked and trapped sometimes into being like, well, I guess I need to also, and you just get to a point where you don't have to do that anymore, and it's like the best moment in your career.
I feel like even just like comedians, I feel like I'm not in the field, but what I've observed, just like I feel like so many sex workers, I feel like it's so saturated because of Instagram. Oh, everybody thinks, okay, I put skits up, so I'm funny and I could do a stand-up. Like, so that's just crazy. It's so crazy to see it from another point of view of how Corona has changed and how social media has changed another field.
Thank you.
Everybody think they're so funny. I'm like, oh my God, another one.
Yeah. You, I feel like you hear me. It's great. Did you wait? Or I mean, did you do anything virtually before the pandemic, or was it all spurred on by the pandemic?
Yeah, I've done everything because I was, you know, I was doing porn, so I was getting like, you know, my checks from Pornhub. I had OnlyFans. I remember when people were like, oh my gosh, she's fucking on her OnlyFans, or why is her OnlyFans so cheap? And now you see everybody has free OnlyFans everywhere, so I just like,
So how does that go then? So when you saw OnlyFans as a platform and you were like, okay, fuck, like I've done this, I'm experienced in it, and you get on it, how do you find, like, if you're having sex on it, like, how do you find the people that you're like, okay, I'll put you on my OnlyFans? Is it kind of like a communication that you have with clients? Well, or is that like your own?
Now things have really changed, because I feel like just with like you, with sex work, you doing like the comedy, it's like I feel like too many guys are just waking up and they think, oh, I have a OnlyFans, I'm a porn star. So that bugged me. But before, it was a little better because you had certified porn stars, or you had people that are really content creators, so I will shoot with them. That's another reason why I don't shoot with people, like, right. You know, like, I don't know, I don't really shoot with people like that. But I'm gonna tell you a trick, y'all. That's how you double up your money. So, you know, you get that guy, whatever, you might even find one of your tricks. So you tell him to hold that camera, and now he gonna pay you. Then you gonna make money off the video. So you made money two times.
But that's
one way. Like, I would just like see, like, you know, like, I don't even call them clients. They tricks, because they tricky. They don't come back. They don't have enough money to come back or whatever.
Right.
They tricks. I call them tricks. I don't call them clients. So it would be that, or it would be like, you know, I'm a guy and I'm talking to at the time, like, here, come on, we got to shoot this video and it's content. So especially now with so many people waking up claiming they're porn stars, I just like, I don't shoot with content creators. I just shoot with regular guys. You know, if I have sex with somebody, here, boo. First of all, especially if you fucking me for free. No. Record.
You're going to make some money off
record,
of it.
So I'm going to make some money off of you. That's how 101, how you pimp. Okay.
So
that's how I find people. Just people like I just like, or, you know, I'm having sex, like, here, just post this camera, boo. Come on. And I edit up, make it cute. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of like what the poll of OnlyFans was trying to do, was that it was like just regular people having sex, you know, because when you have porn stars, I mean, you're like, you're technically an actress. You're like in this film, you have somebody directing you on what you're supposed to be doing and whatnot. So it's like OnlyFans kind of made this platform of it being like, okay, this is just them fucking, you know, and we'll pay to watch
it. Well, not really, like, for me. I was more like always independent, so it really wasn't like a difference. Just being Black, you just gotta do stuff, you know, like, for the companies, they don't really like you to have all the tattoos and stuff like that, and I have tattoos, so it's like some people, and I had, well, not right now, but I always had like the long nail, you know, my look is very urban,
right?
So to them, they won't really hire me or give me a contract, so it was me always putting out my own money to hire guys and hire other models.
Okay.
And I hire my own cameraman. So this is my production that I always put together.
Damn, okay. That makes sense.
And how would you, I'm not familiar at all with how you sell porn. So when you're creating it at your own like that.
It's like you selling crack on the street to crackheads. Okay, that's what it's like. Basically everybody, okay, I just feel like it is just, and I'm not trying to be like, okay, I'm just throwing my black card around, but it's just being, especially me, I'm a dark skinned woman.
Right.
I always have to work 10 times harder. So, right. You know, majority of my fan base to me is more so black men. I'm not saying every black man, but a lot of black men, especially when you're having sex with other black men, you now put yourself in a black porn. Black people to me, especially black men, always trying to tear down the black woman, like, oh, I'm not paying for this. I get it on Pornhub for free. And this, that, and the third. So it's like, you know, it's really, you got to draw these guys in. Just guys in general are kind of cheap. They want something for nothing. So I could sit up there and people just see, even just me posting on social media, people just see the finished product. They don't see the makeup. They don't see me getting this angle, that angle. They don't see me sitting down editing for two, three hours. And most of my stuff, all my content is basically me doing all these things. Like now I don't have a cameraman because they just stupid. So it's like me having this angle right here, putting this here, having this camera here, and then I gotta edit all these things together. Right. So that's why I kind of like, you know, from the sex work, it brought me where I need to be to invest in my business. But it's just men are just weird. So it's like even with you selling the video, some guys be like, oh, $20 for this video. But it's black girl, yes. Like that's not even a lot of money. So
no, yeah.
with the videos now, I'm not on Pornhub, like my videos for sale. I just sell my videos for like on OnlyFans. So most of the time, because I've done the production, I own that content. So because I hire people, I own it. Right. So if I want to sell it, you know, like I have a whole catalog of porn. So it's like, okay, when I'm on OnlyFans, I just like sell it through the message. Some people buy it, some people don't. And it's just like, guys are just so cheap. They just want so much for so little. But that's why you got to have different ways to make money. Because it's like, it's not easy. Sometimes selling videos are just, it's not easy. It's really like, you really on the corner, like really selling drugs. Like you hope somebody coming up, like, okay, let me cop this. Like you selling dime bags somewhere, nickel bags. Right. Then you got OnlyFans pimping you out because then OnlyFans want to cut. So
it's not cheap.
Yeah, wow. So all that. And I'm putting in a production like, you know, $3,000-$4,000. So it's like, that's why I kind of had to fall back. And I'm like, okay, this is too much because my overhead is too high and I'm not seeing my profit.
Right, right. So how did that bring you to, how did you get into your business now, the stripper witching? Was it something like you were doing sex work and you saw this avenue that was available? Because like as a woman and as a stripper, like we buy everything, anything that we feel is going to make us like better in our realm of working, or like we buy it, we consume, we're huge consumers. So was it just something you saw?
I don't know. I was working in this poorhouse, girl. Okay, so I kind of already like did spiritual work for myself. And I was just like in a hole, just spiritually, like people feel like curses and stuff aren't real, but hexing and stuff is really real. It's a lot. So mm-hmm. Black magic is really real. So I had a lot of black magic. It was just like so much. And I'm just like, you know, pain just to get out of it. I'm just like, oh my God. And I was just going through my own stuff, just breaking like hex after hex after hex after mm-hmm. hex. And then, And I was working at the schoolhouse. It was so crazy. I found a good godfather. My first godfather was shitty. I found my godfather. I'm also initiated in Ifa, which is an African tradition, like with the Orishas.
Okay.
So I found my godfather and I don't know, I got my Ogun pot and I'm child of Ogun. And it just like, I was working in the schoolhouse and they just jumped me real bad.
Oh, shit.
So I was just like, oh my God. So I was like wow, like, where else am I going to make money? And Jersey is kind of small, and it's not really a lot of places that you make money, like, so I was like, oh my God, what the fuck I'm going to do? So I was just like, you know what, I'm about to just start making soap. Like, I went to school to read tarot, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just start making soap. And I only had probably like $500 to my name, and I just went to Hobby Lobby, and I just started making soap. And, you know, people really weren't buying it before. They're like, oh, I don't believe in that, or, oh, that's voodoo. So I got a lot of backlash from that too. Sure. And I just kept going. And here I am. I started from selling it at $11, like a bar of soap. And now my soap is $75. So it was just like, you know, being consistent,
yeah,
keep going. And that's why I just focus on that business. Cause like most of my clientele, now those are clients. Cause they yes. are nice.
Yeah. So they treat you with respect. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I just started seeing that, not all men, because, you know, I don't want to be mean, but when I found out men are cheap and not spending money just on videos, and I have girls out here and I'm helping them believe in themselves, and they believe in me, and they buy my products and making money and just feeling good, I was like, okay, I'm gonna stick with this.
Yeah, and it's like a lot more rewarding at the end of the day too, because like you said, it's like people that don't treat you like shit or don't make you feel any sort of way because they like what you do, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm here to like provide a service, you know, or provide right. a product and whatnot. Yeah,
and it's soaps and candles and anything else. Oils,
sprays, oils, necklaces, all manifestations. So, you know, the girls just love me, and I just love them. It's like a family. It's like they love me, they accept me. You go, even like when I go on my 10 to Montana Instagram, it's just like when I put positive stuff up there, they don't care, they just want to see ass shaking. I'm just like, yeah. Oh my God. So it's like when I go on Superlation, I feel so good. It's like, oh my God, like I could post me just chilling. People like, oh my God, girl, you look cute. It's like a real, like, it's like a community that I feel like I started. And it's just like dope to just see girls elevate. And sometimes it's just not about like them buying products, because they're like DM me like, hey girl, I'm like, okay girl, do this, do that. Or even if the product is not working, I'm like, hey, clean yourself, and you know, make sure you clean after this and do this and that. And they're like, oh my God, girl. So I just feel so appreciated with Strip Wishing. 10 of Montana be giving me like, but I'm transitioning that to yeah. Ho. So it's like, we're hustling over everything. I have merch. I kind of failed last year, but I didn't know about the business of selling clothes yet. Right. So, you know, I'm just working on that and building it back up. But that's how Strip of Witching was. Nobody wasn't fucking with it. So it'll come along.
Yeah, the business, I think that's kind of like ends up being the hardest part of it, is when you have a good product, it's the business side of being like, okay, well, wait, like, where should my price be at, and what's my like point to where people feel comfortable like spending that and coming back, you know. And clothing's a little bit different, because clothing's just like every, you know, 5 seconds there's something new. But Ho is a good name. I know a lot of girls that would be into that.
Right.
How do people find that, or is it not?
Well, I'm still working on it, but I have an Instagram. It's hustling. Well, what is it? I don't know. See, you got me drinking wine. Hustling. It's hustling, like, without the G. Underscore over OVA, you know, like my okay. Jersey, like my Jersey accent.
Yes.
And yeah. Another underscore everything.
Yes.
Everything without the G. So that's the. So right now I'm working on a mixtape. I think I'm a rapper now. I don't know. One day I'm a rapper. One day I'm a prostitute. One day I'm a stripper. One day I'm a porn star. One day I'm a witch. I don't know who I am.
Yeah, but I would be everybody, right? You can be anybody you want to be.
The Ho Tour. Right. So what is the Ho Tour?
Well, I'm on break, but I went to Exotica and I passed out like a lot of stuff. I had like little condoms, hand sanitizer. So I felt kind of sad because nobody tagged me, and I was like, wow. So now I'm doing the music now. So hopefully, you know, I'll like hit up a couple of girls and pay them to like do some promo, like twerking to my music and stuff. And then I should bring in, you know, the clientele and build up the brand, and they'll be like, hey, now I want to buy your stuff. Cause that's what it really takes anyway.
Right. It's a lot of like brand recognition.
Right.
It always ends up being that.
Wild. Well, there's niches for, you know, all these things. People who are, you just, you know, got to find the people who are interested and intrigued and willing to become customers and clients, mm-hmm. and not tricks.
You know what? And it's crazy because I try to include the tricks in my, like when I first launched, I had boxes. Sure. Oh my God, they didn't even buy it. So I said, you know what? Fuck these people.
So is that the
support you? All right, yeah. Buy something.
Is that kind of like your goal with all of this? Is at some point just transitioning out of sex work completely? Like
I'm pretty much out of it. I don't really post on my OnlyFans like that. You know, if I do see a client, very, very rare, like maybe every 2 months. So no. I just do like my little content. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if girls talk about it, but you know, sometimes doing content and just it just kind of makes me feel pretty. It gives me like my little validation that I need. So it's like, you know, but I can't take all the negativity all the time. So when I do feel like, you know, doing my makeup, it makes me feel pretty. It gives me the validation from the guys that I need. So then just to feel good. And then I just go back to stripper witch and like, bye. And I'm back in my bonnet, like, bye.
That's how I feel about content creation too, is like, you create content and you like feel really good about it and it's good at the moment. And then you have somebody be like, ooh, well, could you actually do this? And I'm like, no, I can't. Like I did my day of like making shit and like, that's what you get, you know, you don't get anything else. And it's like, it's the world of online. Yeah, what would
of like online losers and online men that just don't appreciate and don't see what the fuck you really go through just to come online.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. And I think that there's like this real falsified image around, they're like OnlyFans. It's just super easy. You just get on there and you post some pictures and you'll make some money. And it's like, well, that's not really like how it goes. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it. So that's like the frustration that I have with it too. I'm like, no, I just don't have time for this right now.
I know. And it's like so much money. People don't see like, you know, you hitting up other models like, hey girl, can you post me? Then you might have to pay her. Well, that's why it's a tax write-off, but still it's like you might have to pay her. So it was just like a lot. Like I've spent hundreds of dollars on promo for OnlyFans and I've gotten up to at least like 1,500 fans, but now I'm not really focused on it. So I spent all that money and I'm like, oh well, look, it's like kind of down the drain a little bit. So it's hard. It's OnlyFans is not easy. Sex work period is just not easy. Like you gotta realize it changes you so much. So right now I'm just trying to heal myself and become a regular person again where I could just trust people. Like you stop trusting people, stop trusting guys, girls. It's just like so much. So I'm just in the process of like healing.
Yeah.
That's wild. Does it when you're making these transitions in and out of things, does that really affect your finances a lot? Does that get frustrated? To not know what's coming in, you know?
I don't know. I'm kind of like a person where I save as much as I can. I splurge on my surgeries, but I don't know. Like when I spend money, it's basically to help me make money. So I don't really like spend money. I feel like honestly, anything that you do is an investment. Okay, even if you go buy a Chanel bag, when somebody see you, or you see a guy, a client might see. Now see, that's when you might get a client. He see like, okay, she has a Chanel bag, so I know I had to have good money for her. Okay, she looks nice, so I'm gonna spend money on. She has nice hair, she has nice neck, like everything. I feel like, and it's all a write-off. So I feel like everything is an investment. Rather, it's furniture, you could shoot content here instead of you going to a location, buying cameras, phones. I just feel like everything is an investment. Surgeries, you know, if you're into that, it's an investment because you want to look good, you want to feel good. All these things are investment. Even if you're going to, if you want to go get a G-Wagon, girl, when motherfuckers see in a G-Wagon, he ain't gonna get no $40. You're gonna get some real money. So I feel like everything is an investment.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, especially when in the work that you're in. And then but in that, you don't ever feel like, see, I would feel anxious about like, oh no, I'm not gonna do OnlyFans anymore. I might not have enough money next month. But you're
probably. No, but that's why you got to believe it. That's why you got to choose to believe in yourself and manifest that shit. Like, I'm just a person. I've just been through so much stuff and I manifested my whole life. So each year I get better and better. Like, so at the same time, there'll be something to replace it. It would just be something. Like, I witnessed that. So I don't know. I just feel like you just got to believe. You got to stand on what you believe in, who you are. And I lost on just whole last year. People just looking at content, people don't understand I put in each photo shoot $4,000. I lost just on whole last year about $15,000. And also getting surgery back to back. That's teeth, titties, nose. I did all this in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I'm still like, damn, I gotta make it back. But I know it's gonna come back because I'm just manifesting it. So it's like, it's gonna come back. You can't be scared. Money don't make no money. That's just how I feel. Now, will I waste? Now, I would say you should balance what you're gonna do. Like, okay, now I'm thinking like, okay, am I gonna go to, I see people on Instagram making a whole bunch of money in this club. Am I going to go personally spend money on flight, hotel, tipping, mm-hmm. and go there and chance that? No. Now, I would rather take that money and invest it in my business. At least I know I'm investing it, even if it does fail. It happens. Like, yeah. You lose money. You can't die with it anyway. So you're going to, you know, I don't really feel like I'm like that. I just feel like I just go with the flow. I feel like you just got to believe in yourself. When you believe in yourself, like, it's no way you can't go. So I lost money. I lost a lot of money. I had people get over on me because they thought I was slow, or they think, oh, this girl's just a stripper. She's drinking. And I always made that money back some way, somehow. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, sometimes it ends up just being about more about your mental state as to like what you're saying. Like, if you want thinking about getting a flight and getting a hotel, like the dread that comes with that when you're not in the mindset to be like, okay, I'm gonna go in here and fucking hustle, you know, who knows how much, as opposed to you feel more comfortable taking that money and being like, oh, I'm gonna put it into my business and it's gonna reflect and I'm gonna feel good about it. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, like, the hardest part with stripping is, like, I guess people think that it's guaranteed money, but every night you go in there, it's a gamble. Every single night, you are not guaranteed. You know, people, when they come in and they're like, oh, well, you're at work. And it's like, yeah, I'm at work, but I don't have a set hourly. Like, it's not like I know I'm going to come in here and every hour make $150. Like, that's not the reality, you know? And I think that that's one of those misconceptions that comes with sex work, is they just assume that if you do sex work, you make money, you know, like, or a lot of, you know, and that's not always how it pans out, you know?
It doesn't. Sex work is hard. I don't know. They just feel like we have it so easy. Like, the mental stuff, the stuff you deal with men. I've been robbed before from a trick. It's like, I've been robbed at gunpoint, just going to just hanging out at a club. Like, this is like a lot just with that industry. And people just don't see that. They don't see your losses. They don't see the pain. They don't see people bothering you. You know, it's been plenty of times I've worked all day. I didn't make any money. It's been time where I worked the day club, then I went to the nightclub and I'm not breaking even. So I sit there and I'm like, damn, I got to go to the after hour now. And I sat there, cried in my car. I get out and I got to act like I wasn't crying and I got to do what to do. It's like, okay, if I do what I do, if I don't, I don't.
Right. So
you had after hours clubs, or was that a common, I mean, you said day, night, after hours, you could have like a long ass fucking day.
Right. So basically I worked in a club where it opens up at 12 to like 8. So sometimes I didn't go work at the club after that. Like, I'll probably do a trick or something. And, you know, at that time, I'm not going to lie, like, I wasn't getting a couple of hundreds. I was getting like maybe $100. So, you know, I didn't know what money was. I didn't know what my worth was. I didn't know a lot of stuff. I was just like, you know, just trying to survive. Like, all right, this, at the end of the day, it's all going to count up. And sometimes I had good days. Like, okay, I made 300 at this club. I might make maybe 100, 200 here. Probably got a little trick here. Made another couple of hundred at the after hours. So the after hours is basically like, it could be in somebody's basement, somebody bedroom. it's just a little place where guys come after the club and they might spend money, they might not. So yeah, so I did all that, come in the house, take a nap, and now I'm back at it again.
So yeah. The most of the places you worked though, was it always like more or less in New Jersey? Did you ever like kind of do like traveling like to different
places? I did traveling, but I feel like to me, okay, so Jersey is my home base. So my whole thing is like, I like to balance things out. So you give and take, okay, I have my car out here. I don't have to pay for Uber. I have my apartment. I don't have to pay for a hotel. Right. So, you know, traveling, you know, was cool, but I'm spending money on Uber. I'm spending money on tipping. I'm spending money on hotel. So to me, the smart thing to do is hustling in New Jersey because I have already the resources. Like, God forbid I don't make money, I could just come home. Like, I worked at plenty of places, but sometimes those places don't work out. Worked at King of Diamonds. I wasn't pole assassin. So I was getting points. I wasn't that girl. So, and you know, I just feel like, especially in urban clubs, they have to be comfortable with you. But that's just, not even just urban and clubs, just in general, you have to be comfortable with who you spend your money with. Yeah. So they see me, you know, that's just how people are. I would be like that. If I see my girlfriend selling stuff, I'm going to support her because I'm comfortable with her. So I'm going to spend my money with her. Yeah. I spend my money with strangers, of course, but you're always going to kind of support the person that you see every day you get comfortable with. And, you know, with traveling, I don't have time to sit in a place in a hotel for a month for somebody to get used to me, for me to make the money. So yeah. I was doing like short-term things and I kind of was not really making the money. Like, for instance, I just went out in June and I was making money, but I was paying $200 house fee, hotels, food, Ubers. And I think I came home with about maybe $1,500. That's not money.
Right. Yeah. That at that point, you like might as well just went on a vacation with your own money,
right.
You know, because you're like traveling and things like that. So in your own like personal life, do you have like a support system in Jersey? Is there like family that support? Is it kind of
I have my mother.
Yeah.
My mother, that's it. Of course, God, my ancestors. I don't know. You know, I have my best friend, but it's basically, I'm just a person where I'm just not saying I'm alone, but it's just basically me. Like, Jersey is just weird. Like, the support, like, people like to like you when you get lit. Like, now everybody's like, oh, what you want to host? What you want to do this? But when I was there, like, people laughed at me doing porn. People made memes of me before memes were hot. People laughed at me stripping. People laughed at me doing stripper witching. Like, people now laughing at me rapping. So it's like, that's just how people are. Like, sure. I don't know. Jersey is just so weird. I don't know, like, how other people, like, do you feel like you get support from, like, your hometown and stuff?
Oh, I mean, no, I don't. I'm born and raised in Vegas, and I left because it's just, like, it's like a cutthroat, like real grimy sort of like women don't like women there. And it's a real tough situation to like get into the clubs and feel like comfortable. It doesn't feel like home, you know? So like the club that I work at now is a lot smaller and it's like a lot better. It's not many girls. It's like 15, 20 girls a night and everybody knows each other. So it's a lot different in that sense, but like I know what you mean by like support and feeling like you have somebody that has your back in those situations. So it's like to find something in your sense where you're feeling like a transition that feels better and feels good. It's like, well, then fuck, just go with that, you know? Cause it's like, if you feel good about it, the money is just money at the end of the day. Like if you don't feel good making it, then what's the point of doing it? You know?
So you talk, I mean, there's a lot of independence for you. You're really independent. And at what point and how did sort of the stripper witching sort of manifest itself or create, like, do you consider yourself a witch? Is that just?
Well, now I have a black cat, you know, I have a black cat now. So I don't know, but I don't know. I started off, I think, just like being spiritual and just like, I just saw like me being into E5. I saw that it can help me, and it just was like, okay, but I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know who I am. I mean, sometimes I'm a witch, you know. I don't know. I don't know who I am. So I don't really know. I really don't have a good answer for that. I just feel like I'm a person that just believes in themselves. Like, I just believe in myself. Like, it, at the end of the day, I never really had people to really believe in me. I had to believe in myself to get where I'm at.
Well, change happened. Corey used to be a teacher, and now he's a stand-up comedian. And when did you switch to comedy, Corey? How old were you?
Yeah, well, there was some overlap. But yeah, I was 29 when I started doing comedy. And then I was 36, 37 when I quit teaching full-time and did comedy full-time. So yeah, you live multiple lives, it feels like, you know, and it's sort of like what I know now or believe now is so different than 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And
that's just really strong for you just to like do stuff like that. I feel like you just like you, when you think outside of the box and you do stuff that people think that you're not going to do, like, I know you feel so good doing that. And just like comedy is still like a way of expressing it. Like, even like with me rapping, it's like, okay, like, wow, this is poetry. Like, you get to express yourself, like, even if it's in a funny way, through a song, through sex, like, it's just, it's, that's really good.
Yeah.
Some people are scared to express themselves. People are scared to be like, oh, I'm about to do comedy. Like, people be like, okay, like, all right. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm about to do witch and stuff. And they're like, people looking at me like, okay. And people used to tell me to stop, like, oh my God, you're almost famous as a porn star. Why don't you just keep going? I'm like, because that's not what my heart is. Like, I like making products. It's like it's arts and crafts. So I'm like, do-do-do-do-do. I'm making stuff like, whoa, yeah. My God, this came out cute.
And that's, I mean, that is the one plus of the internet, though, is it connects people in that aspect. It's like has so many negativity, like much negativity when it comes to like sexual. But then on the other side, you like connect with people that like the same, and you're like, oh shit, like somebody in who knows where appreciates what I do. And that's like the strange thing of the internet and how it's been able to facilitate this sort of like new world of finding people that are like you, you know?
I love it. It makes me feel good. It's like, oh my God, people, they like me. Like, yeah. Especially working in the strip club, they be like people looked at me like I was so weird. Like, I was always felt like an outcast anyway, because I'm tall. I'm five. Oh my God, the cat. So I'm 5'11". So I always was looked at as an outcast. Like, oh, like, you know, a lot of females aren't really tall. So right. I'm like tall girl. And I was just like, kind of like, I don't know. I think I knew I was going to be like witchy, but I didn't expect it to be like a business and stuff. Cause like people used to look at me like, oh my God, you like Harry Potter. And then, you know, especially like growing up black, it just like, okay, that bitch is weird. Like, okay. Whatever. Everybody looked at me weird as hell. And I finally now I like it now, especially now because I can express myself. Like, yes, I'm into spiritual stuff. Yes, I read up on this. Yes, I like black cats. Yes, I like it. Just is so cool. It's like, okay, like I can really be myself now.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just self-taught, or you've read, or you've learned through experience. I mean, you said you went to some training for tarot card reading, but otherwise it's just...
Yeah, basically like self-taught. I invested like how I invest in everything else. When I get invested in something, I invest. I have like a whole spiritual room. I have like my statues. I have my Orisha. They have their own room. I have books. I've always read on the internet. I've gotten a lot of reading. So I paid people for information. I never took anything really for free. If you gave me something for free, I was happy. So I spent a lot of money on learning and investing into this because, you know, I believed in it. It was just intriguing to me. I'm like, damn. And I used to be like, damn, that shit worked. I'm like, hell no, that shit ain't work. And I was like, ah. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just start making money off of this. So
yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a lot that goes into that too. There's a lot that like when people feel like they're more connected with themselves, like if there's something that allows there to like bridge a gap for, I mean, they pay money for it because it's something that I think that most people or at least most anybody has inside of them. But sometimes you need like help to really be able to listen to yourself. And when you have those, even if it's something like a reading or whatnot, and then you're like, oh shit, okay, like I was feeling that and now I have something that validated it, right. You know, and it's like, I think that has a lot to do with the,
I just felt like especially like doing stripper wishing, I didn't even know like so many people, like so many girls were like into it. I thought like I was a weirdo, so I just feel like just dealing with different people, just even if you don't believe in like praying for money, because people say something like, oh, you can't pray for money. And I used to be going to the bathroom sometimes. I used to be crying like, oh my God, I'm not making money. Please, I need money. And it used to happen. And I was way before, like I was into everything. And I just feel like, especially dealing with different energies, even if you're not a sex worker, cleaning yourself, cleansing yourself is a part of your spiritual hygiene. Like this, we are all, this is all science. So even when people try to tell me like, oh, I don't believe in this and I don't do this, I bring out books like, boo, this is metaphysics. So don't play with me. This is science. Like all this stuff is science. Like we are actually science, like organs and astronomy. Like this is all science.
Yeah, so, I'm in astronomy right now.
Yeah, like, I don't get it. So it's like, I feel like even just dealing with just people in general, cleaning just energy off of you. Because even when, if you hang out with somebody that has bad luck, you won't have bad luck. Even when they say, if you hang out with three broke people, you're going to be the fourth one. So when people say all this and they don't, and they think that I'm weird, but y'all say these type of things, so I'm like so confused, but it don't even matter no more because I'm established.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stick with the people that are like making money with you or supporting you. Cause it's like, we live in a world now where you get to be selective about who you hang out with and who you listen to, you know? So
right.
That's how you become, you know, the most healthiest version of yourself. So, you know, seems like me, that's sort of what every, you know, the end game for us all should be working towards, maybe what's the healthiest version of ourselves. And I understand the cleaning. I looked you up on Pornhub while we were talking, so I gotta go clean up. joking.
Yes.
You should follow her on all of the things. Help support by going to Tender Montana Instagram, Stripper Witchin Instagram _ Stripper Witchin, stripperwitchin.com. It's Tender Montana on OnlyFans. Follow her, give her passive income. Go ahead.
Yes, please take me out to strip club, Stevie.
and check out our Patreon. And Black Cat was good luck, even though it tried to sabotage.
He's just like a bad baby. I actually just got him, and he's just so cute.
One more cheers before we go. Yes, follow us, cheers. By the way.
Thanks I'm so much for coming.
Yes, I have to get your Instagram too. I don't have your Instagram, so I can like share your stuff.
I will follow you right now. And yes. Cheers. Thank you so much.
Cheers to everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
We loved you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.